Okay, good morning all. We are up to Perek Hey, Mishnah Vav, Chapter 5, Mishnah 6. God willing, we will finish Maseches Sukkah today. We have three Mishnahs left, so it might be a little longer. If you do have to step out, it's okay. I won't hold it against you. But let's begin Mishnah Vav. So, says the Mishnah, Yom Tov HaRishon Shel Chag Hayu Sham Shlosha Asar Parim Ve'ilam Shnayim V'Sa'ir Echad. So, a little bit of background. We know that there were 24 Mishmaros. There were 24 what we call, quote-unquote, watches of Kohanim that would take turns serving the Beis Midrash every single week. Right? One Mishmar got 1 week. On the Yom Tovim, it was a little bit different. It was sort of not a free-for-all, but rather every single Mishmar had the opportunity to bring Karbanos, and therefore, obviously, every single Mishmar would bring Karbanos. So, says the Mishnah, beginning off, how many Karbanos were there on Sukkot? So, on the first day of Sukkot, we know that there was a decreasing amount of Karbanos that were brought throughout the days of Sukkot, but so on the first day, that was the most Karbanos that were brought. On the first day of the festival, there were 13 bulls, 2 rams, and 1 goat, all this, and 1 goat. So this was a total of 16 animals. So for this 16 animals, so that means 16 of the Mishmaros were able to bring 1 animal. What was left? Nishtairu sham arba'a asar kivasim l'shmona Mishmaros. There were 14 lambs that were left on top of that, and these were divided among the 8 Mishmaros. How were they divided? B'yom rishon shisha makrivin shnayim shnayim v'hashar achar achar. So on the first day, 6 Mishmaros got to offer 2 each. So that brings to a total of 12. And then there were 2 goats that were left, and each of these were given to 1 mishmar each. So that was the max amount of karbanos you'd have to bring. And obviously now as the days go on, so you're going to have less karbanos. You have to divide it a little bit differently. So how does that work? So it turns out the bull offering, right? So on the first day there were 13 bulls, and that number would go down. So then they would take that final grouping of the goats, and they would basically give those out to those who right, you understand. Okay. Vashini Khamishi Makriven Shnaim Shnaim Vashar Achad Achad. So on the second day, what would they do? So with this final grouping of these lambs that they had, there were 14 lambs. So on the second day, 5 of the 9 remaining Mishmaros would offer up 2 lambs each, and the other 4 would offer only 1 lamb each, and that would again bring you to a total of 24. And the third day, 4 of the 10 remaining mishmaros would offer 2 lambs each, and the other 6 would offer 1. The math does make sense, so if you want to go a little slower by yourself, you can. But the math does add up. And the fourth day, 3 of the remaining 11 mishmaros would bring 2 lambs each, and the other 8 would then offer 1. On the fifth day, 2 of the remaining mishmaros would offer 2 each, and the other 10 would offer 1 each. By the sixth day, only 1 of the remaining mishmaros would offer 2 lambs, and the other 12 would offer 1 each. And then finally, on the seventh day, all of the remaining mishmaros were equal. All right, that is, each of the remaining 14 mishmaros would each offer up 1 lamb. What would happen on Shmini Atzeres when there were obviously significantly less offerings? On the eighth day of meaning on Shmini Atzeres, they would go back to the regular method. So what would they do? They would just cast lots, as they did on the other Yom Tov, as they did on Pesach and Shavuos. That's what they would do for Shmini Atzeres as well. Amru, the Kohanim said among themselves, "Mi shehikriv parim hayom lo yakriv lemachar." They made a deal. They didn't have to do it like this, but they were all generous with one another. So they said, any mishmar that offered 1 of the bulls today, they would not do it tomorrow. So in other words, they would take turns. Alechozun chalila. Right? Instead, we would take turns in rotation. So in other words, so X amount of bulls were brought today, and therefore X amount of mishmaros would bring a bull. And so basically, so X would bring today, and the other half would bring the next day, and so on and so forth. So they would take turns, so that everyone would have the opportunity to bring the bull, which seems to be what was one of the highlights to be able to do that. That was Mishnah Vav. Mishnah Zion says as follows: Bishlosha prakim hashana hayu kol mishmaros shavos beimuri harigalim. So just like we said in this previous Mishnah. Right, so when it came to the festivals, everything was equal. 3 times a year on Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, all the 24 Mishmaros were equally entitled to receive the portions of the offerings that the Torah says have to be brought on the holidays. Not only do they get an equal share of the offerings, but they also get an equal share in the lechem hapanim, right? The special showbread of Shabbos. Whenever a yontif falls on a Shabbos, they would get the lechem hapanim as well. But Tzeres omrim lo, so on Shavuos, what would they do? So Shavuos was maybe a little bit different, because on Shavuos there was also the shtei halechem that were brought. So how would they know? And so basically, so each of the 24 mishmaros were entitled to get a portion of the lechem hapanim, right? The regular showbread. bread, and also the shtei halechem. So each one would get a portion of each, and then you couldn't get a double portion of one, right? You couldn't like trade it off. So how would they know what was going on? So on Shavuos, they would say to a group, Heilach matzah, here is your matzah. And that's how they would know that they're getting the shtei halechem, the special Shavuos bread. Heilach chametz, that's how they knew they were getting the lechem ha'panim bread, that they would call that matzah. Maybe it was matzah, not for right now exactly. Heilach chametz, and when it came to the shtei halechem, which was actually chametz type of bread, so they would take that and hand it to the group, and they would say, here is your chametz for you. And so they would know that they were getting one portion of the lechem ha'panim and one portion of the shtei halechem. Mishmar shezmano kavua hu makriv to meet in the dar minu devil sushar karbonos tzibor. So we've been very generous on these festivals. We say that the mishmar who me in theory have been assigned for that week, he sort of gets pushed off a little bit to the side, that everyone gets to share in the karbonos of the festival. But says the mishnah, the remaining karbonos, right? That is all the karbonos that were regularly brought every single day. So even though we had all the karbonos of sukkahs, for example, so you still had the regular tamid offering and all of those things. So says the mishnah, when it comes to the tamid offerings, the vow offerings, the voluntary offerings, and any of the other public offerings, all the things that were not related to the festival, the mishmar that was set to bring that week, he would bring all of those things. That mishmar would bring all of those things. Makriv esakol, they brought everything that was not related to the festival. Yom Tov HaSamach L'Shabbos Bein Milfana Bein L'Acharet. So says the Mishnah, a really important rule, that let's say Yontif fell next to Shabbos. That is right, maybe Yontif ended on Friday night, which went right into Shabbos, or Yontif started on Saturday night, which means Shabbos came right before it. In that situation, Hayu Kol HaMishmaros Shavos B'Chiluk Lechem Apanim. So we said that if a Yontif falls on Shabbos, so not only do they get the let's say, for example, Shavuos, not only do they get the Shtei HaLechem, but they also get the Lechem HaPanim. So when it comes to, even when Shabbos is next to the Yontif, they also get the Lechem HaPanim. So they would all share it among everyone. Every single one of the Mishmaros was entitled to a portion of the Lechem HaPanim that was of a Shabbos that was next to a Yontif. And then finally, Mishnah Chet, and with this we'll conclude. Chal Yos Yom Echad HaHafsik Bein Tayim. Let's say one day, it's really a continuation of what we just said. Let's say one day separated between Shabbos and the Yontif. So in other words, like we have this year, right? So for example, Rosh Hashanah starting on Sunday night, right? So write a one day in between, or the other way around, maybe it ends on Thursday night, you have one day of Friday in between. In this situation, Mishmar Shazmano Kabua Hayan Hotel Eser Chalos. So they were very generous. The two Mishmaros that were scheduled to perform on a single Shabbos. So the way it worked was that every single Mishmar had 1 week. So on the outgoing Shabbos, so the Mishmar that had the outgoing Shabbos, he would do the stuff in the morning, and in the afternoon, the incoming Mishmar would do the stuff in the afternoon. So the two Mishmaros that were scheduled to serve on that specific Shabbos, so they would take 10 of the 12 loaves of the Lechem upon him, and the final two, V'hamisaki, Notel Shtayim, and everyone else who might have decided to stick around, or they came a little early for Yontif, they would get the other two loaves. Okay, and then finally, on the rest of the days of the year, how would it work? On a regular Shabbos, when we said there was always going to be these two mishmars that were there, so each one would take 6 loaves. The incoming and the outgoing, each would take 6 loaves of the lechem upon him. Rabbi Yehuda Meir, no, what are you talking about? The incoming one group would get to take 7, and the outgoing one would get to take 5 loaves, okay? And then, a really important rule, that they would actually divide up this lechem upon him right there. In the courtyard, so the incoming Mishmar would divide their loaves in the northern part of the courtyard. Vayosin Badarom, and the people who were leaving the Mishmar that was heading out, they would divide their loaves in the southern part of the courtyard. And a really interesting story, and with this we'll conclude the Masechta. Bilga, Le'olam Chulekas Badarom. There was a Mishmar called Bilga, so that was probably like the family name. Right, so Bilga always divides its loaves in the southern part of the courtyard. It was meant to be a desecration for them in a sense. Right, the southern part is the lesser holy part. Because that's the tabata kavua, and their ring. There used to be a ring that they would use. It was like built into the floor of the Beis Hamikdash. They would use that to hold the head of the animal before they would shecht it. So, and their ring, which would hold the animal's head, was fastened, which means they were not allowed to use their ring. They would have to use the ring of another family. The chalona stuma, every family had a special closet that you got to store their stuff. Their closet was locked, and they had to use another family's closet, and the mission doesn't even say what happened, but basically it seems like this family had a daughter who ended up marrying a Greek a soldier or officer or something like that, and because of the desecration she brought to the family, and the assumption was that it was because the father would speak disparagingly about the Beis HaMikdash, and they things like that. That's why she went off the derech. So therefore, this family was treated like this. That brings us to the end of Masechah Sukkah. Hadron Alach Masechah Sukkah of Slikalach. God willing, tomorrow we'll continue with Masechah Rosh Hashanah, even though it's not the right order. It just feels like the right thing to do. But for now, we'll stop right here.